the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat. This is Idaho Matters. Red swamp crayfish have invaded Idaho. These invasive critters should not be here. They could harm native species and water quality if they are allowed to spread. They're bumpy. They're red. The crustaceans were found where the Snake River and the Clearwater River meet, and they were discovered by a group of Lewiston High School students who were taking part in a special hands-on learning project, which was created by the University of Idaho Extension Department. Joining us now to tell us more about this scientific mystery is U of I Extension Water Educator and Director of IDA H2O, Jim Eakins. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hi, good. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, let's start with this evil red swamp crayfish. I understand that Jamie Morton, who is teaching her kids about science at Lewiston High School, took her kids out to a field trip in October of 2021. And I mentioned it was the confluence of the Snake and the Clearwater Rivers. Where were these crayfish found? They're crustaceans. I shouldn't call them fish.
Yeah, well, great. Specifically, they were found in the pretty large-sized stormwater ponds located just on the other side of the dikes that basically keep the Snake and the Clearwater Rivers from flooding the low-lying parts of Lewiston. These are an invasive species of crayfish. They're not from this area. I believe they're from either the southeast or kind of south central U.S.
And Idaho has three native crayfish, I understand, and that's kind of what they were looking for or expecting.
Yeah, that's right. So these students have been trained in basic water quality monitoring, as well as they've learned how to identify the native crayfish. And up here in North Idaho, there's only one native species. It's the signal crayfish, Pacifistacus lediusculus, if you want the Latin name. And in southern Idaho, in southwestern Idaho, you've got the Snake River Pylos, and in southeastern Idaho, you've got Snake River crayfish, and there are different species, and very little known. But up here, we normally have been finding the native signal crayfish. And these students, they were doing their, and they've been regularly monitoring the water quality in the Snake River and also in the stormwater ponds for several years. And they had been regularly catching these signal crayfish. Well, in October of 21, they caught this unusual looking crayfish. And it was very, very different. It was not smooth. It was not kind of ruddy gray or maybe a little greenish looking. They were red and they were bumpy. They were very, very different. So some species of crayfish can, you know, have, they can look a little bit different. They can have a broad, a variety of how they look. But this one was really different. So they took some photographs and they sent those photographs to me, to somebody, I think, with the Aquatic Invasive Species Program, and to a couple of other folks who are kind of experts in crayfish. And we were like, yeah, that's not a native crayfish. Where did you find that again?
It's not supposed to be there. Yeah.
It's not supposed to be there. And we wanted to go beyond just morphological identification. In other words, it looks like it was a red swamp crayfish, but we actually took a DNA sample and sent it off to a lab.
Oh, wow.
To be absolutely sure. And I took part of that. I was the one that kind of funded that and arranged all of that to be absolutely sure that it was a non-native crayfish. And indeed, it turns out it was a red swamp crayfish right there in our little stormwater ponds in Lewiston. It was the first time that this particular species has been positively identified in the state of Idaho.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so let's pause the red swamp crayfish story there for just a minute. And tell me, Jim, what is IDA H2O?
Sure. So IDA H2O, Master Water Stewards, is a citizen science water quality monitoring program. Basically, I teach regular folks how to do a discrete set of water quality monitoring, you know, efforts. And so anybody who's interested in water quality can can participate. And it's relatively low cost, as University of Idaho Extension programs are. And in fact, it's a half a day of about 3 hours of online course and about 2.5 to 3 hours of waiting around in a representative stream, learning and becoming confident in the assessment protocols. And so one of those assessments we do are the biological assessments. We go in the stream and we catch bugs. And the bugs tell us a story, a very clear story of how clean is the water and how good is the habitat for different species. And of course, crayfish are one of those species. It's just another aquatic macroinvertebrate. And it just happens to be a very charismatic one.
Well, you know, it's a crayfish, so it's cool. It's a crustacean. It's got claws. It's fun. But that's just part of what you do, right? You're taking water samples. You're testing to see how the water is, seeing what else might be, you know, lurking in the water.
Yeah, that's right. And I had taught that teacher, the high school science teacher, Jamie Morton, and then helped her to teach her students how to do this water quality monitoring. And some people want to go beyond just the water quality monitoring. So let me go back to that first of all, really quick. The monitoring, we look at the habitat, we look at the structure of the stream, the banks and the bed, what's in the bottom, what kinds of rocks are available for, you know, little critters like mayflies and stoneflies and dragonflies and things like that to live in. What kind of fish habitat is there? We look at the physical chemical properties of water. What's the temperature? What's the dissolved oxygen? How about the pH? Is it healthy for fish? Is the water itself? And then we look at the bugs. And so those are the kind of the three components of IDA H2O. We can also look at ponds. We have a standing water assessment. So it's not just wadable streams, but ponds as well.
Wow. And you mentioned that anybody can do this. You have trained more than 600 citizen scientists, I understand, over the past 10 plus years.
Yeah, that's right. We've trained somewhere in the vicinity of 600. I don't have the exact number at my fingertips. And any given year, you know, there's probably 50 to 75 active master water stewards out there throughout Idaho and beyond. I actually teach this into Eastern Washington. I teach it to classrooms all over Idaho and beyond. And I teach to regular folks and anywhere that there's interest.
Jim, let's head back to where the Clearwater and the Snake River meet. Jamie Morton from Lewiston High School, she's a science teacher. Her kids found this red swamp crayfish, which shouldn't be in Idaho. And I understand that some of the kids went above and beyond. They didn't catch just one. They kept going back to try and make sure it wasn't just like one anomalous crayfish hanging out in the water.
Yeah, that's right. They found this crayfish, and they were doing regular monitoring. They basically would go down every month and maybe even every couple of weeks. I can't remember the exact schedule, but they were monitoring regularly the entire semester. So they're doing water quality monitoring and catching the macroinvertebrates, including the crayfish, from, you know, September when school starts all the way into, you know, well into November before it gets too cold for them to be, you know, working near the water. So they caught this crayfish, and we said, yeah, throw some more traps in, you know, let's see if this is a single crayfish. Maybe one person dumped the crayfish in, and maybe it was just a completely anomalous thing. And sure enough, they found more crayfish, and apparently many more had found their way into those ponds.
Wow. And we don't know where they came from, but where could they have come from?
We don't know exactly where they came from. So what I'm saying here is a little bit speculative, but there are two very common pathways for crayfish to get dumped into local waterways. And of course, one of them is a bait bucket. Somebody was fishing somewhere else and brought a bait bucket of crayfish and was fishing there with those crayfish and, you know, just dumped the bait bucket at the end of the day and drove off. The other one is classroom projects. There are a lot of third grade classrooms that do a crayfish curriculum. And which is great. I mean, I really support this. I think it's incredibly important to have students learn about the life cycle of these macroinvertebrates, these crustaceans. What does it take to have water quality and, you know, habitat that is suitable for them? There's so much good science you can learn from this. But at the end of the year, you know, you have to either find a new home for these crayfish or humanely euthanize them. And unfortunately, sometimes people don't want to do either. And they just say, well, let's just bring them down to the pond and cut them loose and maybe they can live their best life out there. Unfortunately, that is puts a whole lot of other individuals and species at great risk. As much as you have a soft heart for the crayfish, that's, you know, the 10 crayfish that were in the classroom aquarium, you know, those 10 crayfish could do a lot of damage ecologically, you know, in our local waterways.
Well, these red swamp crayfish, they're invaders, right? They could hurt things in Idaho. They could hurt other crayfish. They could cause problems.
Yeah, that's right. Generally speaking, the incoming new non-native crayfish, and this is true with a lot of non-native species, they will extirpate or move out the native species. So they will take over the habitat. They will eat all of the food. And in the case of crayfish, and indeed a lot of other non-native invasive creatures and plants and things, they eat more than the native crayfishes will eat. More different things, but also just consume more, and they multiply in greater numbers. So where you might have two crayfish or three crayfish, the native crayfish living in 1 square meter of the bottom of a pond or a stream, you might get 25 non-native crayfish living in 1 square meter of the bottom of the pond or the stream. So they can reproduce much more quickly. They outcompete and just, they outcompete the native crayfish. They also can outcompete other species. You know, these stormwater ponds are located immediately adjacent to two rivers that are incredibly important habitat for federally listed fish species, you know, different types of salmon. If they get out, they could potentially take over some of those fish habitat and eat more of that food. And, you know, if they're eating more of the food, that's less food available for the fish.
And to be clear, these Lewiston High School students who were trained through your program found the crayfish. And now, if I understand right, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is monitoring these ponds to try and to stop these crayfish from doing just that, hurting fish and other species.
Yeah, that's right. Because of the early detection, and we feel like it was a relatively early detection of this invasion, because of that early detection, we were able to alert the Army Corps of Engineers, who that's the agency who is administering the. That's the agency that's administering those ponds. They're the ones that manage those ponds, and they're the ones that basically have to come up with some sort of a management plan. So because we were able to alert them, I mean, that week we had a phone conversation and emails into the Army Corps and were able to get them moving on that.
Wow.
I mean, that's the beauty of citizen science and some people call it community science, is that there's more eyes on the, more eyes on the prize. There's more people out there looking, and if there is a problem, that problem is often identified more quickly and more concisely, and then the appropriate management agency can be alerted to that. Had it not, you know, it wasn't me, the water quality guy from Extension. It wasn't Aquatic Invasive Species program in the state. It wasn't the Army Corps that found them. It was these just regular people who were trained, who had a little bit of background knowledge and were keeping an eye on things. And I think that was a win.
Definitely a win. We've got about a minute left. How can someone become one of these citizen scientists? You call them master water stewards.
Sure. Well, go to University of Idaho Extension, and you can look up the IDAH2O. That's IDAH2O. I can't claim that one. That was my predecessor who came up with that great moniker. And you can, anybody for free can register for the online course of study. And my email is right there in that web page. Anybody with any questions is absolutely welcome to email me. I'm happy to answer questions or, give me a call, and I'm happy to chat with folks on the phone.
Nice. We've been speaking about the mystery of the red swamp crayfish with U of I Extension water educator and the director of IDA H2O, Jim Eakins. We'll put a picture of the evil red swamp crayfish on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org, and we'll put a link there to find out more about IDA H2O. Jim, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I have never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast in its latest series, Taking Cover.